Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio. I am your host, Preston Schlankhofer, coming to you from the Strategic Command and Control Center, deep within the Civil Defense Radio bunker. Our guest this episode is one who will motivate and inspire, and that is just from her personal accomplishments. Our guest this episode has quite a list of accomplishments. She is both a celebrity and an activist. She is a television personality, champion boxer, celebrity personal trainer, spokeswoman and activist. She is a well-known and outspoken supporter of President Donald Trump, founder of the Liberate New York movement, co-founder of Citizens Against Political Persecution, an investigative journalist, and the founder of the People's January 6th Commission. And she is a co-host on Newsmax's Wise Guys at 10 p.m. on Saturday nights. It is a pleasure to welcome to Civil Defense Radio Cara Castronova. Hello, Cara. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. How are you today?
Great. It's a pleasure having you and reading your bio. It was fascinating. I have to admit, I've never met a female boxer. Can you tell us about your boxing career just to start us off?
Yeah, sure. I was boxing some years ago. I still train people and I still box, and I'm still actually a judge and a referee and an announcer. But it was one of the best times of my life. I felt like it really challenged me mentally, physically. Mostly it was mental challenge, more than physical, actually. It made me stronger and prepared me for many different trials and tribulations in my life. And, you know, a lot of things kind of come easier now to me because I trained my mind so well when I was boxing.
Mental attitude has a lot to do with the success in life as well as in hard times, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that when you take on something like boxing where you're actually fighting a person and their whole objective is to knock you out and you're trying to knock them out, it prepares you mentally for a lot of different challenges in life. And I was at the beginning of my boxing career not very good, so I got much better progressively. Yeah, no, I because with women's boxing at the beginning, it was women you would wind up fighting a champion sometimes in one of your first fights. So the first fight I ever had was actually with a world champion fighter, my first fight. So it was kind of like a learning curve. And then I became, you know, the champion. And but it took some years' time, and it took a lot of mental fortitude to, you know, to be able to envision winning fights and becoming a champion when you were kind of like at the bottom of the rankings at the beginning, and fighting your way up to the top was, you know, not giving up was actually kind of, when I look back on it, kind of commendable, I think. I didn't give up early on because I was getting beat up, and then all of a sudden I kind of like hit this like pain threshold and became better and figured out how to defend myself and just went, you know, became a champion from there. But at the beginning, it was the hardest part.
How long did it take you to become a champion?
A few years, I guess. Uh-huh. It took me, I'd say 2 years I remember I won my second fight and I couldn't believe it because the first one was so bad, and I won the second fight by like a very small hair. It was like a decision and I didn't know if I won or not. And when the referee said I won, I was like so ecstatic. And that's what made winning in the end so much better, was remembering those times that you lost at the beginning and remembering how that felt, so that when you win, it's like so much more, you know, it just means so much more to you because you knew how it felt to be on the other side.
Yeah. It is humbling at the same time too, right?
Very humbling. I think that also, it's like a bonding thing when you fight someone So it's like, you go in there disliking each other and you come out like friends. A lot of the people that I boxed became some of my closest friends in life. And it's very interesting. Some of the people I had the biggest rivalries with now, I think I could call and ask for anything because you just get this re really weird bond. And it is humbling. I think boxers are some of the most humble people in the world. Like they come across as arrogant because it's kind of, you have to pretend just so you look tough, but really deep down, it's like just a show. It's an act.
Well, that's good to know because a lot of things are that way in life today,
Yeah.
But I mentioned to you that in grade school I boxed and I won one and lost one, and my first fight was the one I lost. My mom was there and she couldn't stand me getting beat up, so she left and she didn't see the second one.
Oh yeah, so she didn't get to see you win. That was kind of, my mom was like one of the people that would come to watch my fights, and yeah, it's terrifying for a parent, I'm sure, to watch your kid fighting. She's like, why couldn't you take up ballet or the violin? That was like her dream, that I was a violin player.
Well, you're a beautiful woman
Yeah.
too, and good thing that boxing hasn't scarred you or disfigured your good looks. So that's an accomplishment all its own.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So, I came across you through a website that I found called AmericanGulag.org, and it's all about the people who have been arrested from the January 6th quote unquote insurrection, which my wife and I and some friends were there. Matter of fact, we were by that big statue to the left of the courtyard that had all the people climbing all over it. We were
Yeah,
just,
I walked right by that. I remember that.
You probably walked past
Everybody
us
was
if.
kind of standing on top of it, and there were people with megahorns, and it was like really wild. Yeah, I thought it was. I didn't, you know. Well, I guess when you passed that, then you got closer to the Capitol and you saw everybody, like what was going on. But it was, I just thought it was kind of a really just a big protest. That's the way I saw it at the time,
Yeah, I did too. We saw from the distance. We saw the people acting up on the scaffolding and up on the one deck up there on the Capitol, and people spraying something, which eventually we could figure out what it was. It was some kind of tear gas, but and then the police, they were acting kind of squirrely. I spent a 27 years in federal law enforcement, 10 in the military law enforcement. So, I kind of know how things work. And so, it just seemed kind of squirrely to me. But let's get into some background on American Gulag and some of the activities that are going on with this website, and talk about some of the people that have been arrested and the number of people that have been arrested, which may surprise many of the people listening.
So American Gulag is a website that was started by actually the same people who do Gateway Pundit, Jim Hoft, and it was because actually I have an organization called Citizens Against Political Persecution, and it's to help the guys from January 6th that are being detained unconstitutionally. And the reason I started it was actually an article I read on the Gateway Pundit very long while ago. It was back in March or April before anybody even knew that there were political prisoners in America. I had no idea. I read this article in Gateway Pundit, and they were the only people reporting on it. So I'm so honored right now to be actually writing for them because they are one of the first people who spoke about it, if not the first, and went on to start the American Gulag website. It's AmericanGulag.org, where it tells the stories and all the prisoner updates of all the people that are still in there from January 6th. There's about 100 guys still, and actually a female still in jail right now. Also, I think it was over 600 or 700 people were arrested all over the country. That doesn't even include all the people that the FBI have harassed, confiscated their possessions, and detained, and maybe not arrested. People have been, I mean, thousands, I think, more than thousands of people have gotten FBI visits where they've taken their hard drives, taken their property, which isn't legal, actually, interrogated them, came in to try to get evidence from them, maybe from their cell phones or something that they weren't entitled to. So all of this overreach is going on all over America, and it's still going on to this day. People are still getting arrested. I know somebody that got arrested only a week or so ago, still from January 6th, just from being inside. So our main objective right now with American Gulag is to tell the stories of these different prisoners and try to put a human face on them and let America know what's going on. So I think that the number of people arrested is about 650, and the number of people charged with insurrection is zero. So they're still going with the narrative of the government of calling the January 6th event a insurrection, which it was not. We were both there. We saw what happened. It was a protest. The emotions were running high, and things may have gotten out of hand, but it was by no means an insurrection. And just keeping in touch with all the prisoners in there, telling their stories on both American Gulag, Gateway Pundit. There's some in particular that I've written about recently. There's a gentleman named Nathaniel DeGrave. I just put out his letter that he wrote to the American public on Gateway Pundit. And it's really like, it basically details everything that's going on in there right now and what they're going through and how they're being tortured and how they're being kept, a lot of them, in solitary confinement. And this isn't something that really anyone thought could happen in America when you're not even convicted of a crime. And a lot of these crimes are misdemeanors, and you're still being held in detainment, going on 10 to 11 months now with no end in sight. A lot of them don't have trials set up. This is completely against the speedy trial rule, which is protected in the Sixth Amendment on the Constitution. You're supposed to have a speedy trial. I think the limit for federal court is 70 or 90 days. It's been way past that. And these guys don't have trials. Some of them are saying until 2023. So these guys are just in there in jail. And a lot of people think, oh, they must have killed someone, or they must have done something very violent that day. And a lot of these guys literally just walked into the Capitol, walked out. Some of them weren't even in the Capitol. There's a guy in there who wasn't even there at the Capitol that day. He's in there for something that he tweeted. Or rather that he put out on social media. So people don't know this, and they think to themselves, oh, well, it's those Trumpers. It's like those people who are on the extreme right, which isn't true. A lot of these people were not on the extreme right, or whatever that means. And it can't happen to me, but they don't realize that they're going to be very soon next. It's just like everything going on with these mandates and the vaccine right now in America. A lot of people said, oh, it's never going to happen. You know, we're not going to protest the vaccine mandate because that's never going to happen to us. And now here in New York, firefighters, police officers, and sanitation workers today are all out of a job because about 50, I'd say close to 50% of them and 60% of sanitation workers are not vaccinated. So now they thought this can never happen to them, and now it's happening to regular people. So before It was just like, oh, only a few people are affected. And now it's everyday Americans. And now people are thinking of the same thing with this American gulag or this DC Gitmo that we call it. They think it's just reserved for these few people. But like, you know, we don't care if their constitutional rights are broken or their civil liberties. They're quote unquote white supremacists, and that's the what the government paints them as, so that nobody sympathizes with them, not realizing that it's just going to usher in tyranny, and everybody else is going to be affected by this. It's them today. Tomorrow could be you thrown in prison for going to a protest or for not getting a vaccination or for disagreeing with the government. It's only a very short matter of time before average American citizens, like they are right now, treated like a domestic terrorist for disagreeing with the government and for protesting and for exercising their First Amendment right.
Yeah, you're right. There's so many ways that these people are trying to silence American voices, especially if you think about what's going on locally in Virginia, in Loudoun County, where the school board is calling and the National School Administrators Association or whatever it is has petitioned the FBI to, or the DOJ, to have parents classified as domestic terrorists and investigated by the FBI. So, you know, it's not far-fetched to think that anybody can be a target if they're wanting to target. And they've sent marked vehicles and black vehicles and helicopters to school board meetings just to intimidate people. If they're willing to do that, what else are they willing to do?
Right. Of course, it's just it's just something that's just starting out, this whole domestic terrorism thing and just painting American citizens as terrorists. And anyone that goes along with it is doesn't realize how fast the pendulum swings politically and how fast, like, you know, right now you're a useful idiot and tomorrow, you know, you're a domestic terrorist. So Yeah. It's very scary times, very scary, and people need to like stand up and stand up for people that they don't necessarily agree with, because that used to be a kind of a thing in America, like people would stand up for people that they didn't agree with because they'd want their own freedom of expression and thought to be protected. And now it seems like everybody wants to get the next person canceled. It's the biggest country of snitches. It's despicable what happened with January 6th and what happened with the mandates and with the lockdowns of the country, because all it is a bunch of people ratting each other out. Really, during the lockdowns, everybody was encouraged to rat out their next door neighbor and call them in for not wearing a mask, call them in for having a business open, for breaking any type of quote unquote rules or unconstitutional mandates. With January 6th, they said it was the biggest quote unquote internet sleuths or AKAs rats, a bunch of people ratting out their own next door neighbors, their own fathers and mothers, their own family members for being at their protest. And having them thrown in jail as a consequence, and the people thinking that this is actually normal behavior. Like it was mostly people's Facebook friends, mostly people's own family members that sent in quote unquote clues to the FBI, who was encouraged, and the Department of Justice, and Merrick Garland, who was literally encouraging and rewarding people for ratting out their next door neighbors, similar to, you know, like to atrocities in the past of our history of our world, where people were encouraged to rat each other out. And just get each other in trouble with the government, not realizing they're the next person that's going to get ratted out by their neighbor down the line, and then they're going to see how they like that.
Yeah. Well, like you said, the pendulum swings. So, you know, we had a squad, I don't know, about 7 or 8 Antifa in full black block march past us. I mean, these guys, they walked in file, and the one behind another who had his hand up on the shoulder of the guy in front of him. And they walked past us on the left side going up. And I know there's some reports of Black Bloc being involved inside, but there's no video of it. There's a lot of video of what happened that is being suppressed by the Marxists in Congress. And so there's not a full exposure going on for the American people. And I hope this website, AmericanGulag.org, and the Gateway Pundit and your writing exposes more of that for people to know and understand exactly what is going on.
And it's true. It's like there's so much power behind these. Like when I started writing for Gateway, I mean, it's like they're such a powerful organization in American Gulag, because they have such a following. And it's crazy because we put out a letter last week with Nate DeGrave, who's one of the guys in there, and he put a letter to the public describing his conditions, and now today it's going to be on Newsmax. I heard his letter is going to now be read by Congress. And you know, it's crazy how fast, you know, things get picked up on. People are dying for this information. They're craving it because nobody else is giving it to them. Nobody else is giving this information out. It's truly, you know, our organization is truly one of the only. So, you know, when something like this comes out, like a letter, like from solitary confinement by one of the guys that we released or something like that, people, a lot of people were contacting me and they wanted to know where I got the letter. Where is it? Like, they didn't believe it was real. Now, other journalists have contacted me. Where did you get this letter? Is it real? Could you verify its authenticity? I'm like, yes, I spoke to the guy. He sent it to me directly. You know, because none of you guys want to do your job. Now, I don't consider myself a journalist. I say I'm an investigator, gative citizen, because I don't even think journalist is a word anymore that I won't necessarily want to affiliate myself with. Because it's almost embarrassing. It's like how Donald Trump didn't want to call himself a politician. It's the same thing. It's like calling yourself a journalist is like saying I'm a phony and I'm a talking head propaganda machine. And I don't want to be that ever. And I actually dig deeper and look for things and investigate. And I look to put things out that nobody's put out before, or it's pointless. If everybody's talking about it, why do I need to just chime in and add to the chatter when I could be finding stuff and then putting it out there that nobody else is finding? So that's my goal. So it's kind of, it's cool when I have other journalists contacting me and asking me questions about this letter and other stuff, because that means, you know, you're doing a good job. But I, like I said, it's nobody else is putting this information out there right now, and hopefully it changes, you know, with time, and America becomes more sympathetic to their fellow Americans' plight right now. But You know, people are so brainwashed. It's not to be believed. It's like friends of mine have stopped speaking to me. Contacts of mine have written me, you know, horrible things via Messenger or whatever, just because, you know, I support people that were the, not that I even support people that were there on January 6th, but that I'm writing about it. And I'm like, I'm an impartial person just writing about people whose civil liberties are being completely smashed. A justice system that is getting more and more tyrannical, if that's even possible, because they were already bad every day. An attorney general who's probably the worst in history and who could go down as to what to be the worst in history, because I don't ever think anyone's persecuted American citizens in the way that he has. And
No,
yet, you know,
no.
he's a disaster. And I'm
He
so
is.
disappointed in him because actually, I did back when Obama had elect had nominated him for the Supreme Court, I actually felt kind of bad for him. Believe it or not, I mean, because I'm very like sympathetic that he didn't get his chance. I'm like, God, I'm like, that must stink being the guy who gets kind of caught up in that political like crosshairs where he didn't, you know, he got nominated, but he didn't get on the court. I actually felt kind of bad for him, but now I really like, I'm like, thank God he never got on the Supreme Court. But he's actually more damaging as an attorney general. He is so evil. He is like such
Well,
a an evil man.
yeah, he is. He could have been even more damaging on the Supreme Court because he could have he would be there for a lifetime, whereas
Right.
right now he's only going to be there for a couple of years.
Right.
And hopefully not even a couple of years, but a year and some months. I believe that the pendulum is going to swing here real soon. But this brings up the point that we as American citizens have given up our right as the sovereigns and the rulers of this nation that employ, listen to this, employ these politicians to represent us at the state and federal level and even local level. They're getting a little high-handed, especially like in school boards. I mean, these people, they work for us. But these people think that they have the superiority to tell us what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Well, we are the sovereigns. We are the bosses of them. It's not the other way around. And the sooner the American people understand this and get involved, this is a great website. But I also want to plug another one that I just got introduced to in the last couple days. It's called tacticalcivics.com. And what it is an organization that is working to bring back civics to the people, teach them what their rightful place is, and help them understand how to take back control through citizen grand juries and things like that. So I highly recommend people go to tacticalcivics.com, join it, support it, and learn because that's what we need to do as American citizens. If you're not learning about our country and our responsibility as citizens, then you don't deserve to be called a citizen. And in this day and age, either you're on the right side or on you're on the wrong side. The people in the middle, they are fodder for the battle to come. So pick a side, folks. Get off your ass, pick a side, and run with it. But learn about the Constitution and learn what you are meant to be as a sovereign and a leader, as a citizen. Because these politicians are not leaders. That's a moniker that them and the press conspired to give them, just to think that make us think that they are leading us, but they're not. They're representing us, and we are their bosses. So get it right and get educated. This is just, it infuriates me what is going on in this nation. I spent my whole adult life in the service of this nation, and to think that it's going to shit right now because of these Marxists, and there's Marxists on both sides of the aisle. So anybody who doesn't want to have an audit of the vote or is pushing for an audit of the vote, they are the enemy. Remember who they are, remember their names, and vote against them the next election. But right now, vote Republican, especially here in Virginia. Vote Republican.
Right. I agree. It's definitely the lesser of two evils. I never thought I would consider myself a Republican. I used to be a Democrat. Now I guess I consider myself a Republican. I'm more of a libertarian, but
Yeah, me too.
you know, I wish that they were a stronger party. I really believe more in what they have to believe in, and I'm frustrated with how weak the Republican Party has become. You know, I'm not saying all of them are weak, but right now it's like they just don't want to stand. Like nobody's standing up for for the rights of America right now, like they should be. And when you say it's like standing up for the rights of America means standing up for the rights of like the smallest citizens. So like the guys there from January 6th, if they don't have rights, then nobody has rights. And that's what people don't realize. So they think that just by ignoring and pretending that they don't exist, you know, because they don't want to hurt their election, or they don't want to hurt their reputation, or they don't want affiliation to January 6th because it just looks bad during election time. It's just so ridiculous. They don't really have their thumb on the heartbeat of the people the way that Trump did anymore. Or he just understood what the people wanted, which was, you know, people care about other people and about other people's rights. They really do. Like, I care about people's rights, other fellow Americans' rights, more than I care about any politician or any political ideal. That's, I care about other people. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. And I don't think that the Republican Party has any clue about that. They think that we care about these crazy big ideals, which we do to a certain extent. But it's more about just the people's rights and the people's rights to freedom and liberty and standing up for our fellow Americans that we care about the most. And I think that they're completely off when it comes to understanding that the way that Trump did. And that's where they're lacking. And that's why we need Trump back or somebody like him and get rid of these other politicians that are completely, you know, out of clue and out of touch.
Yes, you're right. You know, anybody who has bad things to say about Trump, all they have to do is go back and listen to his inaugural address at his at the inauguration and listen to it closely. He says he lines out his game plan, and it's an attack, a direct attack on the deep state. That inaugural address is the best speech that I've heard from anybody in politics.
Yeah,
that
I
is.
Know.
Awesome.
It was great. I was there in person. You mean the one that the first one, right? In 2016.
Yeah.
It was a really good, and I remember the way that the news media tried to portray it was as if it was like some sort of dark and whatever they said, it was like,
dog whistle for white supremacists or some crap.
They're so crazy. They've been using these white supremacy fallacies.
It's propaganda. They're propagandists. They're trying to turn people away from him, just like they did with GW and Nixon. I mean, and Reagan. I mean, they do that. Because they're trying to focus people's minds in a certain direction. This psychological operation that is going on today against American people is illegal. And it's unconscionable.
No, it really is. It's completely brainwashing people. I was thinking to myself the other day, it's like half of America, like we're split in half right now. I think, I don't really know what the real percentage of people are that believe certain, you know, that lean towards certain political ideals. But I think that if the government knows that if they split us up and that if one side, you know, demands accountability and one side wants to, you know, one side wants the whole point is they know that because they have us divided right now, nobody's ever going to really be able to be effective in taking out any type of tyrannical leadership because we're so divided amongst ourselves, amongst each other.
And that's by design.
They've convinced one side that one side is, or you know, one side are complete Marxists and communists that hate America. The other side are complete white supremacist pitchfork touting people that are completely psycho and only care about themselves. And they've literally, there's nothing in between. And they pitted us against each other in this way that it's almost disgusting and, you know, abhorrent. I within my own household, I have like, you know, it's split down the middle. They have people, you know, you have split, split down the middle where there's people who vote Republican and Democrat and everybody. You can't even have a conversation over dinner without like people getting offended and not speaking again for months or years. It's become like that. It's the household split down the middle. And it's like nobody's going to, quote unquote, go to war because nobody's going to fight their brother or their wife. People, there's couples who don't even agree on politics who break up. I know people who are having divorces now because of the vaccine mandate. One wants the vaccine, one doesn't, or one likes Trump and one doesn't, and they can't handle their differences, so they decide to get a divorce. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's become terrible.
Surprise.
It's become so terrible, and it makes me so sick. That's the part that makes me the most sick. And I see right through it. I see right through, like, everything they're doing with these guys from January 6th and using them as these boogeymen to usher in all this tyranny, because they're using them to change all this judicial precedence that's never before seen in America. Now people could be held and detained without bail. Now people could be thrown arbitrarily in solitary confinement for going to a protest. And everybody's okay with it. Everybody says, well, it's not us, it's them. And that's what they said, like, a long time ago with the concentration camps in the First World War, in World War II, saying, oh, well, if it's not me, it's them, so why should I care? And then all of a sudden, it, you know what I mean? So that's just the way it goes. And it's very scary times, because now they're calling parents domestic terrorists. Now they're calling anti-vaccine people that don't want to get a shot domestic terrorists. And they were calling, they weren't calling, doing that a few months ago. They were calling January 6th as domestic terrorists, and nobody had a problem with it. Now parents are saying, wait a second, I'm a domestic terrorist? How did this happen? It's because you didn't have your eyes open to the fact that they were doing that to other people only a few months ago.
What we need to do is we need to learn our responsibilities as citizens. And this is the most important thing. And we need to speak up for others' rights, no matter who they are. And that's one thing I've done. In the military, I fought for this nation and people's right to stand up and be different and say things differently than what I believe. And I still let people speak. But the other side doesn't let us speak, because they don't want any dissenting voices out there. And like Antifa, I grew up in Portland. That's my home. I have siblings out there still. That place is a dump, you know, because of the left. And it's always been a very left-leaning city. Like you, I grew up a Democrat until I went in the Army and saw what the differences are between presidents and their national security postures. I went in under under Carter and came out under Reagan. So I got to see the difference. But anyways, that's getting off the point, I think. But it was a pleasure having you on the show, Kara. This is a topic that we're going to need to address on a fairly regular basis, because this is something that is ongoing, and I'm sure that there will be other groups that will be targeted for this persecution that is going on with the January 6th crowd, as well as the Mothers Against School Boards. And so there's going to be more people being woke to the tyranny that is our government, especially our government under leftists. And if there's a silver lining in this, that's it. So any last word?
Thank you so much for having me on and for shining more light to this crazy issue that's going on in America right now. Hopefully we'll overcome it. Hopefully people will wake up. I'm really hopeful that, you know, the more we could humanize the stories of these people that are in there, and people could realize that these are the guys and girls that could be their next door neighbors, literally, that just got caught up in the wrong place, the wrong time, and now are being targeted and literally used by the United States government as pawns to usher in tyranny, to usher in legislation that's insane, like stuff that's kind of like Patriot Act 2.0 stuff that they're trying to usher in right now, all to fight domestic terrorism and white supremacy. They're using those two key words there. And then it goes, we want to fight domestic white supremacy and other groups.
Yes.
Which means it's basically infinite. And any other group includes you, no matter, like, whatever you are. So long as you disagree with the government, you're in another group that is, this legislation is going to affect, and your children down the line. So just be really careful what you vote for and what you wish for on your enemy, or what you perceive as your enemy, because the pendulum swings. And, you know, be careful what you wish for on your enemy, because that's just going to come right back around and bite you in the, you know what, if you're not careful. So that's my final words. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, it's a pleasure. And that's the last word. Civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio, Telegram at Civil Defense Radio Channel, MeWe at Civil Defense Radio, and YouTube at Civil Defense Radio Channel. Most of what we post are important information about the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. So please consider this information and use it wisely. I wish to thank Kara again for being on the show, and I also wish to thank you, our friends and listeners who are with us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you guys being with us this week. So please, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.